John DiBella Podcast, 102.9 MGK.
As you know, Def Leppard is coming to Citizens Bank Park on June 25th, along with Motley Crue, Poison, and Joan Jett. But most importantly, there's a new Def Leppard album. It is terrific. It's called Diamond Star Halos. And joining us from Def Leppard now is Joe Elliott. Hiya, Joe.
Hey, guy. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
All right. Listen, life is good. Life is real good.
I wanted to ask you, which is better, knowing that you're all going to be together out on the road again for the first time in a long time, or getting into the studio together? But I didn't realize that you guys weren't in the studio together to put this album together.
We were not. We weren't allowed. We were supposed to get together in my studio in Dublin, Ireland, by the 20th of March, 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Lockdown. No flight. Nobody could travel. So this month-long recording session that we were going to have got extended as lockdown kept getting extended. But we made this game plan right on day one. I got on the phone with Phil and said, okay, you guys can't travel, so what are we going to do now? And within about 30, 40 minutes, we had this plan that we could do it remotely. It's not as difficult as it sounds. It doesn't make for a disjointed record at all. It's not a massively different process to the way that we'd normally record anyway, because we often record in layers, you know, that we do the drums, and then we do the bass, and then we do the guitars. And while Phil's laying these guitars down, everybody else is sat next door watching the news or playing video games or whatever. The only difference is they weren't sat next door, they were in another country. And we just, you know, everybody in this band's got their own studio, so they just got sent all the stems for the multi-tracks and did their parts, and our co-producer Ronan McHugh, who was the guy whose job it was to glue it all together, once he was confident that we could do this, he said, it's easy. He said, it's really not difficult at all. That made us feel real confident that we were going to be in a good place. And, you know, instead of having the guys at my place trying to rush through as many songs as we could in 4 weeks, we had this open-ended recording session where everybody got to sit around in their own homes rather than mine, but they weren't doing anything. It made more sense. All the energy went into making the record, not into, like, surviving jet lag or living somewhere you don't want to be. It just made it a real pleasant experience. And, you know, we've been saying ever since we finished this record, it was the best experience of making an album that we've ever had.
That's amazing.
And I don't think we'll ever go back to a traditional recording session ever again. You know, we had the songs. Phil had been writing on his own. I'd been writing on my own. Sav had been writing on his own. So on day one, we had 8 songs to be playing with. 9, actually.
Wow.
9 songs. And then as lockdown kept getting extended, we realized we had the whole summer to keep writing. So me and Phil wrote 5 more. We had a 40-track record done and dusted for about 2 months until Phil phoned me up one day and he says, I've just written this new song. Do you want to hear it? And he played me Kick. And I'm like, dude, we've got to do this. So we opened up the sessions again, and we recorded Kick. You know, we did it pretty quickly. Everybody was on board. And we wanted it to be a bit more rock and roll, and it's got that swagger about it that we probably wouldn't have had if we'd have had more time to mess with it. But we ended up with a 15-track album, and it almost became a 16-track album because we carried on writing, but we had to stop at some stage, otherwise there'd be no album to release.
Isn't that how Pour Some Sugar On Me came about also? It wasn't originally on an album?
Yeah, exactly. That was the comment that Sav made, you know, because we probably communicated more during lockdown than we would have done if we were in the same building. It's just weird, you know.
No,
he was real positive. It was real positive. But yeah, you know, essentially his theory was a finished 11-track record until yours truly came up with that chorus, and Mutt went, what is that? And I said, yeah, it's just an idea. And he went, oh, we're doing that, you know.
Does the title of the album, Diamond Star Halos, is that a reference to T-Rex?
Correct. It's a line from that Bang a Gong, as you guys call it. In the UK, it was called Get It On.
Okay.
Mark Bolan was the king of phonetic lyric writing. Hubcap Diamond Star Halo is just it's a phrase that we would use over the decades, like, you know, I've written some lyrics for this song, it's a bit Diamond Star Halo, and it would mean, you know, it's for that, it sounds, it scans beautifully, it's written to sound good, it's scatting, like Cab Calloway used to do, just, you know, words rather than noises. So when we were kind of slapping around for an album title, we had a couple on the go, and Phil just went, oh, let's just call it Diamond Star Halo. And you could hear the total silence on the phone for the other guys in the band, you could hear the cogs in their brains going round for about 6-7 seconds. And then there was this collective, yes.
If you guys were a band back then, what band would you have been like if you were around the time that Bolan was doing music?
That's a great question, because it depends which lineup. You know, I mean, this current lineup, we would probably be a bit T-Rex, a bit Sweet, you know.
Uh-huh.
That's a fantastic question. I need to go in the time machine and figure that one out. I have a feeling it would have been guitar-heavy, melody-heavy, commercial rock, which is kind of what we are. But that comes from various different places. I mean, yes, the British glam scene of Slade, Bowie, Bolan, T-Rex, you know, T-Rex and Sweet and bands like that, Mott the Hoople, Queen, is a huge part of what we are.
Before you go, and as long as we're in the time machine, all right, what was your problem with Brezhnev in 1982?
I don't remember.
Because there's those backwards lyrics in Rock of Ages where Brezhnev has herpes, and then it was F the Russians.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. There must have been something going on somewhere in the world.
That's hilarious.
We were just messing about in the studio and saying stupid stuff. There's a lot of words hidden in other places, but I'm not going to tell you what they are.
Where they are?
We'll find them.
Joe Elliott, our guest, the new Def Leppard album, Diamond Star Halos, is available as of the 27th of May. The new song is Kick. We're going to get to that momentarily. They will be at Citizens Bank Park on June 25th. It is great to talk to you, sir. I can't wait till you get here.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I can only imagine the energy that's going to come out on that show. Thank you so much for taking the time, Joe.
My pleasure. Thank you. See you in the summer.
Classic Rock 102.9 MGK.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.